Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Bap.
Toucher.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
Cody dresses an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
To wear down.
Oh my goodness! Aaron Judge has done it again! Homers in five straight! Santa Maria!
That even the ESPN producers weren't ready for that because you can hear his microphone over-modulate. Like it breaks up. The guy freaked out so much.
To wear down.
Oh my goodness! Aaron Judge has done it again!
Man.
Santa Maria!
Yeah, Santa Maria.
Sure. That's his signature call, by the way. The Santa Maria thing is Vasgersian's.
Well, I mean, everyone knows his signature call. I mean, everyone's talking about what Matt Vasgersian has to say. Just whispering to each other in the street corners.
Santa Maria!
Yeah. Stop. We don't need... That's his signature call.
That's his thing, yes.
Oh, SpaghettiO! No one knows what his signature call is.
Except Santa Maria!
All right, okay. Why that? Like, why Santa Maria?
Boy, I'm telling you, that was amazing.
I don't know. He's a big fan of Christopher Columbus.
Apparently. I don't know. All I know is it was game eight of the season, and he had his pants down. It was
incredible.
You
would have thought someone, like, got shot. I mean, it was like he was screaming. You save that for a walk-off grand slam or, like, something in the playoffs. Week eight. There you go. Well, or you save it for a Joe Murray rant when he, you know, does what he does there.
I'm just trying to make sense.
They shouldn't have pitched to him, Rich. They shouldn't have pitched to him. They should have walked him.
I just want to make sense.
They don't deserve your passion.
No, it's fine. I'll move on from it.
They punted on the season in February, and you're angry in August.
And you guys just want to move on from it.
Yes, correct.
It's not even that I want to move on. It's that there's so much other stuff going on. I mean, you just have enough energy for... I mean, in fairness... Last night's game was fairly entertaining. Anytime it's that close and, you know, they go down to the wire, it was entertaining. And it's a Yankees game, so whatever. I mean, because Sunday night baseball is so damn long. But as much of a cliche as it all is now, it was entertaining to watch. But they had their chance. And now that you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey, it's going to be really tough to care about the Red Sox, especially the way that, as you said, John, you saw that the product they put together, they've essentially given up on giving us anything that's entertaining. Now, there are some circumstances that were out of control, like the Eduardo Rodriguez thing is really sad. Like, that stinks. And when they made the announcement on Friday that, unfortunately, his heart thing doesn't look like it's going to get much better, I think when we all heard that, like, when he first started talking about that, I think we all were like, just shut him down for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do that. You want this guy for the long run. Last year, God knows, he had a breakout year. Let's keep this guy for a while. He's one of the few good things that this organization has going for them right now when it comes to pitching. Don't just protect him at all costs. But that doesn't mean after he's gone, you don't step back and go, what do we have now? Like, what do we have left that can make this work? And I saw Jay Stu this morning, Captain Optimistic, talking about how last year the team started, 2-8, and they went on to like that. This is not that team. Like, this is pretty damn far from that team from last year. And I just, it gets to the point where you just don't, I don't have enough care right now and enough passion to go towards the Red Sox. They blew it. They had a week and a half to earn my respect, my viewing, not that I'm done, but I just don't care.
I'm not done because I want to see how bad this gets. That's the only reason I will watch now is to see how. But can they really be the worst team in the majors? I think they got a shot at it.
That's my point about last night.
What?
It was a tie game.
So what? They're the worst team in the majors,
they
Joe.
Pitch to that giant monster.
So? So they did. So they lost.
And he knocked one out of the park and a guy had an orgasm.
So what? I'm more involved with Matt Scherzer than Matt Barnes.
They are.
Fine. Great. Even if Terry Francona was managing this team, even if Whitey Herzog, pick a Hall of Fame manager, he couldn't save this team.
Yeah, but he walks that guy.
So what? They're rearranging deck chairs.
Okay.
They're going to lose three in Tampa.
I'm stopping now. I'm making too much sense here.
All right. As much as that was not the best weekend for the Red Sox, what was going on with the Mets was far more interesting. I don't know if you heard about Jonas Cespedes. What went there? First of all, it was scary. It was legitimately scary for about an hour. So what happened was, right before Sunday's game that the Mets had, they ended up losing to the Braves. But right beforehand, the Mets released a statement that was fairly ominous. It said, as of game time, Jonas Cespedes has not reported to the ballpark today. He did not reach out to management with any explanation for his absence. Our attempts to contact him have been unsuccessful. Now, I was reading an article, and they went back through the times when there was announcements like this. As a matter of fact, there was, who was the guy? Daryl Kyle, who they made that announcement. He didn't show up because they found him dead in his hotel room, had a heart attack. And then there was, Matt Harvey, who didn't show up for work once, and there was an announcement, and that's a bunch of other stuff that he was dealing with. So when this happens, it's fairly scary for the team just to not know where they are. So later on, the Mets made this public admission afterwards saying that they were not worried about his safety to kind of calm people down. So you're like, all right, well, if you know that, then maybe you know what's up. So the other thing, too, is so after that, they ended up releasing that it was for COVID-19 related season. So I guess they sent a security guard to his hotel and found that he had just up and left and hadn't told the team. And I guess they released something that Jonas Cespedes opted out of the season because of COVID stuff. But that's not really what happened. And this is why both sides look like total a-holes in this. So according to the Post, they dug into this. They said that there had quickly evolved a situation in which Cespedes, who, by the way, hasn't been playing that well, he's like 5 for 31, 15 strikeouts, he told the team that he was concerned about being kept out of the lineup because he needed to hit certain levels to achieve his contract bonuses. Now, I guess Cespedes already lost like a ton of his money already.
he's not that good this year. He's only himself to blame for that. Oh, by the way, he has one home run. You know who he's against?
Of course, the Red Sox.
Correct.
Yeah. So the Mets apparently knew that Cespedes was pissed that he'd been kept out of the lineup a couple times. So, like, the Post is saying the Mets knew that he was threatening not to play. So when they released that statement, the organization essentially knew why he was leaving. He was pissed off that they weren't giving him playing time. But to release that information, that ominous, scary, he didn't show up thing and put that out there, dude, that's like wildly irresponsible, especially with like everything that's going on with like the COVID stuff and all that. And just like and the couple examples that I gave you of people who didn't show up, like bad things ended up happening. So the Mets clearly exacerbated this. They made this seemed way bigger than it should have been. But Cespedes was finally like, all right, well, you know what? I'm gone for COVID. Both sides of this just look like complete and total a-holes in all of this. But I mean, what a cluster F going on yesterday when it came to this whole situation. Because when I saw it, I'm thinking, oh my God, is the guy dead? What happened? So, I mean, at least you don't have that going on. I'd rather have a bad team than one that's like evil.
Hey, you know what they do now? They need an outfielder, right? Tim Tebow, baby. Bring him up.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Bring him up.
All right. This guy has enough trouble. Wait. This guy is Tebow I'm talking about. This guy has enough trouble hitting baseballs when there is a minor
league
season.
Doesn't matter.
He hasn't hit a baseball
in nine months. No pressure.
It's just for 2020. I'd be great. You know what? If he went out there and just like killed it, I'd be all for that.
I'm not worried about that. That's not going to happen.
Tim Tebow in New York 2020. Make it happen. Oh.
It would bring all the crazies out again. Because, man, people went nuts. I remember. I got yelled at by my mom because I was ripping on Tim Tebow. And she's like, why do they give him a chance? And I'm like, because he's not good.
And it's
anything. Because he nails, isn't it? And I'm like, no, it's because he stinks.
And two sports he stinks at.
She wanted him to start over Brady when they signed him. He's like, you got to give him a shot. And I'm like, did you hear about what happened in practice where he threw a ball into the sidelines and it hit somebody on the head? Like, he threw it onto the sidelines and hit somebody.
Yeah.
Like, but you know what? That's what it would save 2020 for the most part. Tim Tebow and all the crazies come back out to me. It'll give us a little something to just, you know, mock and enjoy and all of those things. All right, 617-779-0985. We've got Jeff Howe from The Athletic. There was more opting out when it came to the Patriots. And Devin McCourty, the way he's talking, he had a really interesting press conference this weekend. He sounds as on the fence about this season as I wouldn't be surprised if within the next couple of days he was gone. He's pissed at the league. He's pissed at the situation that's being presented right now. But he hasn't opted out yet. So we'll get to Jeff Howe and get his opinion on everything right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
Tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date because you guys know Monday will be our first day in the building. So to try to act like guys are making a decision about something other than virtual meetings is a joke. But I think it's something that we go through as players. And when players understand how much power we have, we've seen things change for us. I mean, primarily even with this deal with the COVID-19, trying to get everything back, we saw some of that strength. So hopefully we'll see how everything turns out come Wednesday if that ends up being the deadline. But I support guys no matter what they decide. But I'm still out here having fun and figuring things out. We'll see how we go. I appreciate it, guys.
.5 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and that is a not very happy Devin McCourty. A fairly positive guy, not sounding very happy about how things are going on right now in the league, and you continue to have more players opt out up to this point. Dont'a Hightower, Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon, Brandon Bolden, Matt Lacoste, a new one added this weekend, Danny Vitale, Marquise Lee as well, a new one, Najee Torin, if I'm pronouncing that guy's name correct. But still, it's a lot of people, a lot more than many other teams. And I don't know. Listening to Dante Hightower, I mean, he doesn't sound certain to me that he's going to stay here. And I know he's obviously upset with everything that's happening. Devin McCourty. He doesn't sound happy. And I know that the league is trying to continue to move up this deadline to when they have to decide whether they're going to opt out. I think it's in fear of some loopholes that they can exploit as far as being able to get paid, even if they were going to get cut from the team. But in order to explain all this to us and get his opinion on the McCourty situation is, of course, our friend Jeff Howell from The Athletic on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. What did you take from that? I mean, there was a period of time where McCourty might have spoken angrily for about 5 minutes straight without taking a question. That is very unlike Devin McCourty. What did you make out of that, Jeff?
Well, it was his first opportunity to speak with the media, and he said right off the bat, he's been out in front of social injustices and issues related to that for a few years now. And he wanted to make sure that he was able to use his voice and his opportunity to run through a number of things, justice for Breonna Taylor and all the way down to the NFL and wanting to change the opt-out deadline. So he hit on a number of topics over the course of 5.5 minutes. And, you know, it was interesting to hear him speak as eloquently about all of them as he did.
Okay, so can you quickly explain, because I was trying to figure it out, why is the NFL, because originally they were going to have, till the end of the week to opt out, but the NFL is trying to move it to like tomorrow or Wednesday because they think that there's some sort of loophole that players can exploit, is that right?
So the way that this whole thing has transpired was the NFL and the NFLPA have been negotiating a number of different things. Pretty much all of it has been set in stone from, you know, my understanding for, I would say, a week and a half, to the point where the original opt-out deadline was supposed to be, I believe, Saturday, so 2 days ago. But the way that it was written in this agreement was that the agreement was like an announcement of an agreement that had yet to be finalized. And they said once this whole thing is finalized, the opt-out period would end 7 days beyond that. So because this agreement still has not been finalized, we're still 7 days away, at least, from this opt-out period ending. So then it started to get leaked that the league wants to, you know, make it shorter than 7 days. And McCourty caught wind of that on social media over the weekend and then hammered that point home again yesterday. And saying that it shouldn't, you know, players should have, that's the 7 days that should be agreed upon. So it's my understanding, the league cannot just say, all right, we're moving this thing up. I think that still has to be collectively bargained. So the PA would have to still agree to a shorter opt-out period once this whole thing is finalized. And then the other side of it, too, you know, there have been reports that there are teams that think the players aren't handling this thing. You know, they're trying to use it as leverage for a better contract and stuff like that. I haven't personally heard that, but, you know, that report, it has been out there. So I think that's part of the impetus, as well as what McCourty was saying, that there have been more opt-outs than teams probably expected, and it's unfair to, you know, you hear Belichick on Friday say that the Crafts went above and beyond with all the stuff that they did to take care of Gillette Stadium to make it as safe of a working environment as possible with the coronavirus pandemic. But who knows if all 32 teams are doing it the same way.
Jeff, I understand you're not in the locker room, things being as they are, and all you have to go on are Zoom conference calls with separate players. But taking what you heard from Devin McCourty into account, what's the, in all the players that have opted out, how do you think the morale of this team is at the moment?
It's an interesting question because this team is just so businesslike year in and year out. But this is an off season unlike one we've ever seen, football wise, real life wise. But I think one thing that I really picked up on Friday was Belichick. And this is classic Belichick. He basically said, you know, he kept using the word opportunity. And it's an abbreviated offseason. There was no offseason workout program. There's basically only going to be 3 weeks of training camp. There won't be any preseason games. But he kept saying that they have to use every opportunity that they're given. And he made that the really interesting point that college teams never have a preseason. They just, you know, they have a 3 week training camp in the summer and then they get right into the regular season games. And for big time teams like Alabama, you don't have a chance to, you don't have the opportunity, or you can't afford to lose any early games to a lousy team, because that takes you out of the national championship running. So I think Belichick is probably drawing on Nick Saban, Greg Schiano, guys like that, and taking a little more advice for, hey, how did you guys go from a 3-week training camp straight into the regular season? And then again, he keeps using that word opportunity. And I heard David Andrews say that a handful of times yesterday. So Belichick is just saying, Belichick is trying to make sure that these guys aren't thinking what they've lost. He's trying to make sure that they are taking everything that they have. And I think the teams that handle the next few weeks the best are going to have an advantage to an extent, at least in September, once games start going.
All right, what are the chances McCourty plays, Devin McCourty plays this season, in your opinion?
I mean, it sounded like he was leaning strongly toward playing yesterday. I don't think he really outright said it. He did mention that he's, you know, still having fun and he still wants to keep doing it. So it sounded like he was going to play. But with players really packing into Gillette Stadium more and more today, I think they're going to have a better understanding of the facility and everything that they're going to be encountering this season. So it sounds like he's going to play, but the way that this whole thing, I mean, I was told last week when the first six opt-outs happened that, you know, that was all that they were expecting, but that came with a big caveat that you have no idea how emotions and feelings are going to change over the next week to 10 days. Once the testing goes on, once they see the facility and stuff like that, that's why I think you've seen Matt Lacoste and Marquise Lee added to that first or that initial group of six. I wouldn't be totally shocked if you see a couple more, but again, it's what the team is expecting, and the way the feelings could change in the coming days are two completely different things.
Hey, Jeff, last week you wrote about a change at the tight end position. Obviously, Lacoste opted out yesterday. Two rookies drafted. Is it similar to what happened in 2010? And could they possibly bring in another veteran like a Delanie Walker or someone like that?
Yeah, they need a veteran. And the interesting part about 2010 that everybody continues to overlook, people were overlooking it in 2010. Algie Crumpler was a phenomenal veteran addition to that group. Just thinking back to some immaturity issues or just some growing up issues when you had Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez as 20-year-olds in that locker room. Having a guy like Crumpler was huge for their development. And the tight end position, it's really, really hard for rookies to come in and contribute immediately. I mean, Gronk, I think, had 41 catches. He had 10 touchdowns, which is really good for a rookie or anybody. But Hernandez, I think, had 45 catches. So even as good as they were as early on in their careers as it was, it's not like those two guys put up monster numbers outside of Gronk's 10 touchdowns as a rookie. So you start that with the baseline for what Asiasi and Keane could potentially do in this offense. I mean, if either of those guys has a good year, you're still talking like 30 to 35 catches. And who knows how many touchdowns it's potentially going to be. And then you take into account that Brady was the first ever unanimous MVP in 2010. So the quarterback play was unparalleled in terms of how good it was. So, yeah, they're going to need a veteran in there. And, I mean, if they go in with the two rookies and Ryan Izzo, I mean, it's going to be a lot to ask. It's a lot to put on the shoulders of Asiasi and Keane to come in and be focal points of the offense. And I think an extension of that is you could potentially see Julian Edelman have a monstrous year because he's going to work a similar area of the field to where the tight ends would obviously be. And I think whether it's Stidham or Cam Newton, I mean, think about how much a young quarterback really relies on a tight end or people to contribute over the middle of the field, which would put more emphasis on Edelman. And if it's Cam Newton, I mean, he's never worked with a receiver like Julian Edelman, and then compound the fact that, you know, think of how good Newton was when Greg Olsen was up and running and at his healthiest in Carolina. So either way, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot more emphasis on Edelman than potentially you've even seen in past regular seasons.
All right, Jeff, finally, this as a fan, this of all the preseasons that we've had in a while, this one's the most interesting. I mean, you got, you know, Cam Newton out there. You don't know what the defense is going to look like. There was, I mean, there would be a lot that you would want to see and see if it works. And there's no preseason games. There's no practice open to the public. The media is kind of frozen out. How much of the preseason are we as fans going to be able to see, if any?
Well, if you subscribe to The Athletic, you'll get daily practice reports from yours truly. And I think they're going to—I think they're as good as they come. So.
But what are you guys going to be able to show? Like, other than like write-ups, which are going to be great. But I mean, are we like? Is there going to be any video access? Are we going to be able to watch any of this stuff? I don't really know. Because, I mean, usually in the past, you've been able to, turn on the news and everyone, there's cameras everywhere.
We like to run for the bleachers, Jeff. We need everyone crowded around that gate.
But I mean, I really want to see some of this preseason stuff. Are we going to have access to any of that this year?
Yeah, there's going to be one pool camera that WBZ is going to operate, and then they're going to upload that to their satellite, and all the rest of the outlets in the city are going to have access to that. I think you might see some national, the way the media credentials are working is, I was kind of tuning out a little bit when it came to the camera stuff just because it didn't involve me, but you are going to have a camera at every practice, and the shooting session is going to be standard, like the first 20 to 30 minutes of practice when guys, before the one-on-ones happen, so you're going to be going through positional drills, you'll see Cam Newton throwing balls to Julian Edelman and stuff like that. But you won't see any offense versus defense, or if you do, it would be very, very limited. But it would be pretty similar, I think. You're just not going to have the fans in the stands, so you don't get that opportunity. And then I think one benefit of one benefit that you might take for granted, that we all probably take for granted at the time, because there's such a restriction on what the media can shoot. I mean, that we can't take videos of anything, or at least we can. We just can't publicize it. We can't put it out there on Twitter once the camera period is off. But the fans and the stands can. So we might tweet, all at the same time, hey, so-and-so made this unbelievable catch. I can't show it to you, but he did it, and you're going to take our word for it. But when there's 15,000 people in the stands, one of them usually catches it, and then maybe that video goes viral. So you'll lose those opportunities.
Yeah, I'm just asking for Joe Murray because the guy got all hot and bothered just watching the black and white slow-mo video of Cam Newton throwing to Julian Edelman. And I'm like, if he can't live without that for a couple of months, I don't know how he's going to survive.
I mean, Jeff, the way you're talking about Julian Edelman this morning, it sounds like he might be looking for a contract. He has a good year, they might not be able to pay him.
They just came into a whole bunch of cap space, so maybe they can.
That's a good point.
All right. Well, Jeff, we appreciate it, and it's going to be an interesting couple of days. I don't know. After I heard the McCourty thing, and man, he's just been hinting and teasing that I don't feel 100% confident that he's going to, he's going to stay. I don't, and he seems so pissed. And it wasn't just the racial part of it, but I mean, just the way that he's pissed at the league for trying to move the goalposts. It just seems, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, put it that way, if in the next couple of days we find out he's opting out. But it'll be worth watching. Jeff, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we'll Joe Murray here with the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Nine Eight Five of Sports Hub is Toucher and Rich. And a couple weeks ago, we had a situation where Adrian Wojnarowski got upset at somebody who wrote something, and he ended up sending him a personal email, and it said, you know, go F yourself. And this guy ended up tweeting it out and saying, hey, ESPN, is this how you like your employees acting?
It was
and
a congressman. It was a congressman.
It was congressman. That's right. It was a congressman. And is this how you like your employees acting? And he tweeted, by the way, it was an email. This wasn't anything like even public. And that got Adrian Wojnarowski in trouble with ESPN because ESPN is, you know, they don't really seem to be backing their talent when it comes to something that any adult should be able to say to another adult, especially privately. But either way, that was thrown out there. So Adrian Wojnarowski ended up getting suspended for 2 weeks because of that. And of course, he ended up having the support of a bunch of players and things like that. Well, this past weekend, John Heyman, a guy that we have had issues with on our show. I think when we had him on, last time we had him on, I think was after the Apple Watch controversy. Do you remember that?
Yes, and he said the Red Sox should forfeit every single game they use the Apple Watch in.
Which was like half a season.
Yeah, it was
or something
like 40. We're going to vacate 40 wins. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. It was one of the dumbest takes, and you know we kind of called him out on it, and you know he got all huffy about the entire thing. So I'm not the world's biggest John Heyman fan, but this weekend some guy like named John Becker, he ended up saying something, you know, like ripping on John Heyman, and so John Heyman direct messaged the guy. He ended up going in a direct message.
That never backfires.
Yeah, so he direct messaged the guy and said, I can see you're afraid to be yelled at. This is John Heyman to this guy. I can see you're afraid to be yelled at. You are some piece of work, moving between groveling and ripping me. I don't really know you, but your privately kind comments combined with public rips of me are really something else. I recall you suggesting I am a bad reporter to now. I don't know what makes you think you're an arbiter of anything. Anyway, of course, this time you were right to be scared because, of course, you knew you deserved to be screamed at. Good riddance to you. Go F yourself. And of course, he spells out the F word right there. So this guy ends up taking a screen cap of it and retweeting it. Hey, at MLB Network, at MLB Network PR, is this the kind of behavior you endorse from one of your employees? Are you kidding me? Are we getting to the point where this is a thing now? Where everyone's trying to get everyone fired because they're speaking to you like an adult? Like, if you go after somebody on Twitter, do whatever, it's different. Like, the worst thing he did was tell the guy to go F himself. Like, he didn't say anything about his family. He didn't do anything personal. He was just like, man, you're being a dick, and I'm going to let you know, behind the scenes that this isn't cool. And he spoke like a normal adult would speak to a normal, and now he's trying to go out there and get the guy fired. I'm not a John Heyman fan, but dude, this whole new trend sucks. Yep. And like, and everyone wants revenge. It's like, hey, is this the kind of guy? So like, thank goodness, at least it was about 50 to 60% of the people came down on this John Becker guy saying, dude, what are you doing? What are you, baby? You're trying to get this guy fired? So like, John Heyman, of course, like ended up tweeting something back to him, like direct messaging. He said, I'm now hearing you have a history of alternating, cooking up, making mean comments. Please seek help. He just put all this stuff like that. And he goes, hey, you know, because they published his thing and put it out there. This is one of the worst trends that has come out lately. Yeah. Is that you take someone's DM and you throw it out there, and it's happening way too often now.
Yeah, and let's not forget, Be Better 985. That didn't go over well. No, yeah. I'm being serious.
But that was a public.
Yeah, that was public, but it was bad. It was a bad look.
It's all in the same kind of social media nonsense. I mean, it all is. People use social media for a lot of different things, and originally, I guess, I don't know even if it was a good idea when it first started, this kind of thing, but ultimately, social media is for people who want to feel good about themselves, and whether that's putting someone else down or showing someone else's direct message or whatever the case may be, and if you don't understand that going into it, maybe you do need to get slapped in the face a couple of times. Honest to God. There's no good that can come from answering back to a troll. Is there?
No, actually.
Ever?
You're right about that.
Have you guys ever gotten a DM from an athlete or like a celebrity because you ripped them? Have you ever gotten a DM before?
No, but I can confirm that Lifshatz has, though.
Yes. Can you? Who was it?
Ramona Shelbourne was one of
ESPN,
them.
Oh, ESPN, yeah.
Oh, yeah, ESPN.
It's mostly ESPN people.
Now, was he being an ass?
No, I think he was
Lichette?
Just he was just about, you know, he gets fired up about things.
Like, what did he say to piss her off?
I don't know, but he sent like me an email. There was someone else too.
It's the best.
But he writes to me, and I'm like, "Whoa, man, you really like got to these people, huh, man? What'd you say?"
All right. 617-779-0985. Have you ever gotten a mad DM from like an athlete, a reporter, a celebrity? You put something on Twitter and they DM'd you. That I want to hear, because now I think they have every right to do that. But I mean, if you call them out and try to get them fired after something they DM'd you, if it was just like them telling you to go F yourself, like this, like with John Heyman, then I mean, you're the problem at that point. I mean, you can't, like, now, although there are times where it's funny, we've had two different guests tell us a story about how they did this. Do you remember when we had, what's his name? My fishing buddy.
Who was it that NHL went to somebody's house?
Jeremy Roenick. Yeah. Jeremy Roenick, when he was on our show, was talking about the one time where there was a guy who on social media just kept, like, you know, ribbing him and just wouldn't let him go. And Jeremy Roenick would go back and forth. So Roenick apparently found out where the guy lived and actually went to his house and knocked on his door. And Roenick was like, "It was the best day of my life." And to that, I just say, dude, you got to calm down.
No, I mean, that's one of those things where the police can get called on you. That's not good.
Listen. It was like when we had a Goat Boy in studio. What's his name? Bad with names this morning. Jim Brewer. Yes. Jim Brewer from SNL. We had him in studio, and there was one moment. And I love Jim Brewer when he's in studio. He's great, and he, you know, riles people up and all that stuff. But he started telling a story about, you know, how he got like the FBI, like a friend of the FBI, to go help find where this dude lived who was mocking him on Twitter. And like, what's the worst thing you could say to Jim Brewer? I don't know if he was threatening his family. You know, that's different. But I don't think when he told the story it was anything like that. But he apparently also found out where the guy lived and showed up at his place. And there's some point where I'm enjoying this story and it's really funny until I go, "Oh, dude, that's a..." Do you know the resources you have to put into like doing that? And then to actually convince yourself that it's worth getting in a car and driving to where this guy is and go, like, I mean, I know some people can say some crappy things, but aren't you kind of the maniac in that scenario?
Yes.
I know it's kind of like, you know, it's something that probably a lot of people think about in their head. It's like, oh, what a dream. It's like a wet dream. I'm going to finally confront this troll, blah, 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 blah. But if you actually do it, aren't you the maniac
in
that situation?
And that's what gives the troll power to know that he or she has won. That was his point or her point in the first place, to drive you so insane that you alter your life to connect with that person.
All right, real quick, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take your call, 617-779-0985. But also, you have an assignment, Joe Murray. Yeah. During this break, I want you to find out what the tweet was that set off Ramona Shelburne from Dan Lifshatz. I want to hear what the tweet was, the thing that he wrote that got her to DM it, and we will judge whether or not the response was appropriate. How about that?
I'm on it.
Okay, all right, sounds good. We'll be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Wow, we're getting a lot of these. 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's Dutcher and Rich. And I was talking about how John Heyman, some guy was trolling him on Twitter. And John Heyman's, as I said, we've had our issues before with him in the past. I mean, he's fine. But he was getting trolled by a dude on Twitter. And so John Heyman sent the guy a direct message that was basically just saying, hey, man, what are you doing? You're being a jerk. And at the very end of it, he said, good riddance to you. Go F yourself. And he actually spelled out the word F. And then this guy retweeted the direct, took a picture of the direct message, tweeted it out there and put, hey, at MLB Network PR, is this the kind of behavior you endorse from one of your employees? Like trying to get the guy fired or suspended when, once again, he's speaking to someone like an adult would speak to another human being. I don't get this. It wasn't any kind of thing threatening. It was just he used a dirty word. I can't take this. And it got Adrian Wojnarowski fired, which was ridiculous as well. Because
suspended.
Once again,
suspended,
not fired, but not suspended fired. For 2 weeks. Yeah, but suspended also at the beginning of a fairly important time of the season for the NBA. I mean, that was a big deal. So, I mean, this trend has been ridiculous. And I was asking whether or not anybody had ever gotten a DM from an athlete or from a like any kind of celebrity or anything like that, and we're getting a bunch of people who are tweeting us. Well, first of all, the Bruins Luchador says, now that I know a celebrity will show up my house over a Twitter beef, I'm going to start randomly DMing them and starting trouble to see if they'll show up. It's not a bad idea.
It's like issuing a challenge to the trolls at large.
Right. It's like, you know, even better than Cameo. They actually show up to your place. You can invite your friends. Someone said, I chirped at Spike Lee for courtside heckling at a UMass game. He barked back at me, and then he, of course, blocked me. A ton of people have obviously been blocked. Someone said, I made what I thought was an innocuous comment on a Warren Sapp tweet, and he both quote-tweeted me, then DM'd me, berating me about it. Before I could even respond, he had blocked me. Coward. Yeah, Warren Sapp sounds like somebody who probably has fairly thin skin. I think he's kind of been known for doing that. I think there's several people who said that they've been told off by Warren Sapp. So, I mean, we've gotten quite a few of those. Let's go to Rich on line one. What's up, Rich? You're on the show.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
You guys poked the bear with me this morning on this whole subject. I am already getting pissed about going to work. It's a generation thing, I think. I'm in an industry where all swearing is almost required, and I said something inappropriate to a younger kid, and he got offended, and I got suspended for a week. The point of it was I think he was mad because I made fun of him in front of other people, but it wasn't even that bad. But it's just a generation thing. These kids nowadays.
All right, Rich, I think you've proven your point. Right.
I mean, I have to deal with this kid. For you know, the owners came talking. They almost fired me over it. But it's like, I've been with this company for a long time, and they're like, listen, you can't say that kind of thing to these kids nowadays. And it just pisses me off. And you know, I'm sorry, but you guys... Thanks a lot for getting me all worked up. I gotta go to work
All right, Rich. Now, granted, we don't know what exactly Rich said. If it was just swear words, that's fine. But if it was the context, I'm not quite sure. So, before I defend the guy, I just want to know. I don't know what he said. All right, now this real quick, and we gotta take this last one before we get to headlines. Steve, talk to me. Inject this into my veins. What do you got?
Yeah, so one of my buddies back in the day when Curt Schilling was going through all that stuff on the island got into a Twitter beef with him, and he played Division III baseball up in New Hampshire, and Curt Schilling got so mad he ended up calling his athletic director about it.
Oh my God, what? He called his athletic director?
Yeah, it became this whole ordeal.
What? Okay, so what had your friend said that pissed off Curt Schilling so bad that he found out where this guy played and called the AD? Steve?
He's gone.
Hello?
He's gone.
He's gone. All right. Well, that's. I mean,
Curt Schilling.
Are you shocked that this happened?
No. Schilling has the thinnest skin for such a big dude. He's got thin skin. That guy. He is out of all the athletes. There's no one more sensitive than that guy, and he will be the first one to play the snowflake card on you too. Mm-hmm. Oh, sensitive snowflake! When he is the biggest, snowiest flake of them all.
Wait until he's a Hall of Famer. Wait until he has that card, man.
He deserves to be a Hall of Famer. I hate the guy, but he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I'm not going to take that away from him. But he's also a Hall of Fame a-hole and just an idiot. Hall of Fame idiot. That stuff that he did where he just left that trailer full of bottled water and he was driving from Massachusetts when you could have gotten the water closer to where the problem was. God, what a dummy. What a world-class dummy.
And then he got all pissed right. at you guys about no, mentioning it
no,
on the
I'm
air.
Fired up like, I'm fired up like Rich, you called it before. You pressed the shilling button on me. Oh God! All right, no commercials, just the headlines, and I've got something. I've got a little present for John. I got a little something for John. So we'll get that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.